A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Summer House Hive. I am your host, Laura Marie Shane Halls, and with me today is Sophie Ross, editor, copywriter, reporter, does beauty, fashion, and all sorts of things. Hi, Sophie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm happy that you're able to come on the pod and share your Summer House thoughts.
Yes, yes. I have so many thoughts about Summer House, especially I rewatched the finale today, like again.
A double watch is always essential for the best viewing.
Yes, I need to pick up on like the little details that you missed the first time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I love that. So what I did not know that this season was going to be over like until last week. And I feel like I'm still coming to terms with the end of summer.
Oh my God. When they were like next week on the Summer House season finale, I was like, wait, hold up. Like it went so fast. I feel like it just started.
Yeah. So, how are we not just only halfway through the season? I was like, we have at least 8 to 10 more.
Houses. Yeah. I'm guessing because like they were only in the house for like 6 weeks. So like there's only so much probably that, you know, could happen over 6 weeks is yeah. My guess. But like, yeah, I'm sad, but I'm really excited for the reunion. It's going to be good.
I didn't know how much I needed a whole room of people like yelling at Hannah, but and like her not being able to go anywhere or leave it, like that's the healing experience and the corrective experience I need in 2021.
Yeah, it'll be cathartic for sure. I think it's like Hannah. I mean, there are so many things I can say about Hannah, so I'm sure we'll get to that. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I just feel like she's a very unique case of a villain that is not fun to watch. So, you know, people are just like, no, yeah, get her ass. Because, you know, sometimes if there's a villain, you're sympathetic with them sometimes. With yeah. her, it's like, no, like everyone is just so sick of her shit. Like, it's so crazy.
And I think that she could have a comeback, like if it seemed like she were open to hearing what people said and had that level of self-reflection, like I could see her coming back and just resuming her place as like lovable Hannah Burner on the Summer House. But it seems like she's really doubling and tripling down on like, I'm right, you're wrong vibes.
And I think that's where she's like digging her grave. Like I think that is where she's really, really gone wrong, because everyone, you know, like last summer was hard on everyone's mental health. I think if she had come out on these podcasts, she's like doing the PR rounds, like she's on a new podcast like every day. But if she had come on, like, you know, showing remorse, taking accountability, being like, hey, you know, like it was an emotional summer. Like I just was not, you know, my normal self, because clearly she's getting feedback from everyone that it's not a good look for her.
Yeah.
And she's doubling down, and it's causing her to lose her real life friends, like the, like outside of the show that, like, you know, they're friends in real life, or they're supposed to be. And now it's like, I think she's completely dug her own grave. Like, I don't think she comes back next season personally.
Yeah. I saw that you had posted something about like her and Dez coming back to next season, and I kind of want them back because I think that they're so cringe together that it could be kind of like enjoyably awful to watch them navigate the house as a couple.
I'm sorry. No, I disagree. Not to be a contrarian. No, I think most people would probably agree with me. I like my stomach like was in knots from like the secondhand cringe watching that episode where they're doing their sexcapades. Like, it was just too much. It was disgusting. And I think that, I think what grosses people out is that it all felt very performative. Like, it didn't feel like, it sounded like they were moaning for the cameras almost. Like, it just was gross. Like, they weren't trying to be discreet about it. They were trying to make it a whole thing. Like, it was just gross. So, yeah.
No, I'm like, I sometimes like to be in pain when I watch a Bravo show. So like seeing them do their thing in a, especially in a summer where like Kyle and Amanda's wedding is going to be front and center even more than it was this past season.
It's like, funny that it is every summer. It's Kyle's
wedding. They have been in the process of getting married for years now. And like, maybe we'll get to see it to fruition this summer.
That's why so surprised when the Paige bridesmaid thing, I was like, how is this already not decided? You guys have had like 5 wedding dates already that have been like postponed. But
maybe it all feels so temporary and like TBD to them that they just haven't locked it down until they really are confident that the wedding can happen.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. That's true.
Let's get into this episode. It opens with the tail end of Hannah versus every single woman in the house except for Lindsay, who's like drunkenly playing that like ball sack throw game.
I love her. Love her.
Too. And Hannah is now like just sided, like she and Sierra have gone off into the basement to like decompress, and Hannah's mad at Paige and like mad at everyone. And she always, her defense of herself is kind of backwards to me, because she says that she's joking. Like she says, like she started this conversation wanting to joke about how Luke said that he didn't like Dez. And that never read as a joke to me. Like that is like, anything she says about Luke is like a flex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was saying it. Yeah, as like a dig about Luke and, you know, wanting the girls to pump her up like usual. And she didn't get the reaction she wanted. So then she tried to brush it off like a joke, which is, by the way, like a lot of the behavior that she's exhibited this season is like very like, I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist, but it's almost like, you know, when you say something abusive and then pass it off as a joke, that's like kind of an abusive thing. It's like manipulative. Like I just think that she's a manipulative, like narcissistic person. And that's just an example of that, that she, you know, is clearly saying inflammatory things about Luke, and the rest of the house is like, hey, like he kind of had a point. Like we're Team Luke. And she like cannot handle that.
Yeah, or just even, and not, they didn't even say like Team Luke. They were just like, well, right. I mean, he, like, you and Dez were off in your own world and didn't really spend any time with anyone. So, like, no one can say whether they like him or not, because all you guys did was fuck all weekend, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but like, it is going to make you an outlier in this community that you're living with for 6 weeks.
Yeah. And it's just the facts. Like if my friends were like, oh my God, you guys were like having sex the whole time, we barely got to get to know him, I'd be like, okay, you're right. Like, sorry guys. I just was excited to see, you know, but like everything turns into like a blow up. She got so defensive. And then when, you know, they were talking about Robert, who I love also, who I found out is from my hometown of Cincinnati, but,
Ohio Hive, yeah. Represent.
Ohio Hive, Ohio rise up. But anyway, she like got so defensive, like being like, well, Robert must be so friendly and nice compared to Dez. And it's like, they're just like, look at him. He's like playing the ball game with the roommates. Like Dez wasn't doing that. It's just like a fact. Like it's not anything that you can really dispute. It's just a fact. And she like cannot handle that. Everything is Hannah's truth. And like, I think we've seen that everything, like even when she, you know, was FaceTiming Dez and she was relaying the story about Luke, and it's like she always manipulates the truth to the point where it's like a pattern where we see it happen over and over again, where it's like anything she says in her confessionals to me, I don't believe anymore, which I think is like a really bad thing for a reality TV person. Like, I don't trust a word you say. Like, why? It's like Jax Taylor territory. I'm like, you are a pathological liar.
Yeah. Well, I think she thinks that everyone sees it the same way that she does. Like when I think about Jax, I'm like, he is lying just to lie. I think he's lying in hopes that it'll just pull the wool over someone's eyes, and maybe it does and maybe it doesn't, and he doesn't care. But I think Hannah is lying because she believes that, yeah, other people have seen exactly what she's seen, which is almost a little bit scarier because she's in her own version of reality that's like indisputable.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. It's like a little alarming, like how delusional she's coming across this season, where it's like, yeah, you're not, like Luke said, I don't know what world you're living in, but it's not reality, or whatever he said. Like, that's how it is. It's like, you're not really living in reality. It's like, and some of it is like, are you playing it up for the cameras? Like, did you think this would, you know, that you were going to manipulate the audience to believe the storyline, and you're kind of just like playing it up for the, like, I don't know. And it's really alarming. But the more she's doubling down on it, it's like, no, I think maybe. But then she also was saying that, like, we didn't actually have sex in the bathroom. Like, this was fake for the camera. And I'm like, that's also a no-no. We don't want to know that everything you're doing is fake.
Yeah, I just want to see, I would like to see some vulnerability and just be like, to your point, where if she was like, look, I was mind fucked last summer. I like the Luke thing really fucked me up. And then I got over it when I met Dez. And it seems really crazy because it was crazy and it made me insane. And like, I don't know what else to say, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And instead, it's like we've seen her just be defensive, talk shit about all her castmates, talk shit about anyone who criticizes her, like deletes comments. Like, it's like there's no vulnerability there. Like, it's like everyone is saying the same thing. That she is, this is really wild to watch, and it's like really not normal behavior. And instead of owning up to it, she's doubling down. It's confusing.
Yeah. And I think that it is like the coffin, the lid of the coffin is starting to be nailed when you're a reality star who trades in that kind of behavior, because like there's always room to bounce back. Like, I think these shows are built on tearing people down and then building them back up, and that just comes with the territory. Like, is it something that you or I would want? Probably not. But no. Like, this is what you've signed up for. And like, I thought, like, it's also kind of like, oh, you're a performer, so I'm surprised that you're not like milking this and getting like more positive attention out of it, because like if she just made jokes about it and made fun of herself, like it would all diffuse really quickly.
Yeah, I mean, so that's kind of confusing, but that's also kind of what she has been doing, is like posting memes about like her like behavior, or like the sound bites that she says, without addressing like, you know, the stuff that is making viewers on Twitter and on Reddit be like, oh my God, don't bring Hannah back next season. Like, oh my God, Hannah's so manipulative. She's such a liar. She's so mean to Luke for no reason, blah, blah, blah. She's trying to turn everyone, she's gaslighting the audience. Like, instead of like addressing some of this stuff, she's just trying to like play it all off. And it's like, no, like you actually are like really like an alarming person. Like, her behavior is like alarming.
Like, it is. Yeah. It's 911 territory for me. I don't really, I think I had to mute her on Instagram because I just couldn't take like the screenshotted tweets anymore. But
and they're all stolen, and they're all stolen, which is another thing. It's like people have been saying that for a long time, that she steals tweets and she steals content, and she never addresses that either. It's like, okay, so you're just going to keep doing it. All right.
Yeah, it's a weird move for like a self-appointed comedian.
Right. That's like, what I don't get. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. There's some sort of dissonance there.
For sure. For sure. Because it's like, I don't follow accounts like the Fat Jewish and Fuck Jerry. Like, I don't follow those meme aggregator accounts. Like, if that's what you are, just be that. Don't call yourself a comedian.
Yeah, I know. And actually, like, be funny.
Yeah, that too. And same with her fiance.
Yeah, like, I would love it. I would love it if you guys were, I would love it if you guys were really funny.
That'd like, if you were actually funny. Because you call yourself.
Like, if you made me laugh.
I was waiting for that. I was like, they're comedians. Like, you know, there should be, you know, some funny one-liners, nothing. Instead, it was Des being like, if you need a bishop, call me. And he had to like explain the joke. He was like, my last name is Bishop.
But I do kind of believe in their love. Like, I feel like maybe they're twin flames in some respect. Like, I want to see it. I want to see it play out because it is either going to be just like so cringe. It's like my body will feel like it's a wet washcloth just being wrung out, like, or it's going to just implode as quickly and as powerfully as it established itself. And so either is kind of I'm open to.
My prediction, which by the way, they haven't even like, I actually was randomly DMing Amanda the other day because I'm a Betula hoop. But I love her. And she was saying that technically they don't find out until like May or June who's coming back. So my prediction is that Hannah and Des are still hoping that they will be like invited back. Mm-hmm. And once that doesn't happen, which I personally don't think it will, that's just my prediction. When that doesn't happen, I think it's like relationship over because I think it was like purely opportunistic for, and they might not even realize it. They might have convinced themselves that they're actually in love. But like, I think when it comes down to like facing the kind of scrutiny that they are facing from like how bad they looked on the show, like that's tough. Like you have to be a really strong couple to survive that. And like, I don't know.
Yeah. And a couple that was born out of that environment. Mm-hmm. Like TBD and, if they can do it, because also I think their wedding is scheduled for August or something.
No, it got moved to next summer originally. Yes. And she like right after they got engaged, she was like wedding dress shopping, so it was like, oh, they're trying to like get it on the show.
Yeah. And so that's why I thought like, oh, they'll be invited back because they've made this like summer wedding that ideally I guess Bravo would cover that, whether they get married like in the summer house or just like outside of the summer house. But that's also like incredibly ambitious scheduling because trying to plan that and get it on the show and like work it into like the rest of the cast. Cause I would imagine you would have to have some of the cast members be at the wedding. Like, well, it's just a lot.
Hannah won't even be at. Yeah. So it's not, from everything I heard, it's going to be summer 2022 now, but, yeah, I mean, shoot, I lost my train of thought. You can edit this part out. I have like the worst ADD. Oh, we were talking about weddings.
Is Amanda's wedding going to be? Oh, yeah. Amanda and Kyle will definitely be getting married on the show.
Yeah. Or, like, and they said that they were on, I think it was Danny Pellegrino's podcast, I think, where they said like we would be doing a disservice to the fans because they've just been along this journey with us the entire time. So I think it'll definitely be filmed. So, it almost seems like when it was planned for the summer that Hannah was like trying to compete with them. But I don't even think Hannah will be at Amanda and Kyle's wedding if it happens this summer or whenever it is. I mean, I think Kyle and Amanda's wedding is definitely happening. They've just been engaged for like 7 years. But I think from everything that I have gathered that like Hannah won't even be there. So it wouldn't even make sense for them to do like Hannah and Des. It would be like two separate things. They're not a friend group anymore, or like they weren't at all with Des. So.
And it is like kind of a fuck you to schedule and then assume that your wedding would also be covered on a reality show that's been like focused on this one couple's relationship journey since the beginning. Mm-hmm. But I yeah. think she's kind of done a lot of that. Like I saw someone had sent me a like she was promoting some other like boozy drink in a can mm-hmm. or something, which felt very like,
it was a cocktail in a can, like a direct competitor with like Loverboy's entire like shtick.
Yeah.
And
you don't
yeah.
do that kind of shit. You don't do oh. that kind of shit to Kyle.
Well, did you see the comment? So basically Sierra posted like a smear. And I know all of this from like just like being a stalker on all of their Instagrams.
I love
and
it. Also, I need the scoop because I don't really like do a Big Bravo Liberty like stalk on my Instagram. So I appreciate getting reports from the front lines.
Yes. Yeah, so from the front lines. So Sierra posted a Smirnoff ad. And people were like, wait, like, I hope like at Amanda and Kyle were cool with this Smirnoff. And Amanda was like, it is not a direct competitor. It's like vodka. Like you're not gonna, if you're choosing between Smirnoff and Loverboy, like that's not a thing. You're gonna get one or the other.
Yeah.
But she, and she was like, and she asked me like a good friend would. Like it kind of read like a little dig at Hannah because Hannah actually did advertise a direct competitor, a canned cocktail, and I guess didn't ask for permission. I don't see why she would have. From everything we know about Hannah, there's no way she asked for permission. So yeah, it's like a low blow. I think she's taken it off the show because I think her ego just got way too big. And I talk about this on Ryan Bailey's podcast that I go on every Monday, but I just think her ego got way too big and I think she thought she was Summer House, but we all know Kymanda and Hub House are Summer House.
Mm-hmm. They're the OGs and
right.
soon, like I look forward to Carl next summer, like sober mm-hmm. Carlito trying to yes. find the love of his life. Like I'm here and all in for that.
I'm here for it too. Oh my God. And I'm excited because like people are going to be vaccinated this summer. Like they can actually like go out again and like, but we'll see what that does to Kymanda's relationship. Not that I think Kyle will be like out hooking up with people ever again, but.
No, but just like drunk Kyle.
Blacking
like
out.
Out and about Kyle is very different from like drunk Kyle in the summer house who gets,
I couldn't
who
deal
just
with
like
that.
Grabs the nearest bag of snacks and just like goes
passes out with his shoes on. If yeah. my almost 40-year-old, not to like age shame anyone because it's mm-hmm. fine, I personally would be like, you're almost 40, why are you still getting drunk like a frat boy? If he was passing out in my bed with his shoes on as often as Kyle does, like that is so not okay. With his shoes on, like
shoes on the bed is a huge no for me.
No.
And then getting that kind of drunk, I would say that any partner of mine would be allowed to do that once a quarter.
Right. I think it's a turnoff. Like, I just think it's unattractive. Like, I just find it unattractive. If Amanda is still attracted to him and like, it's fine. If his life isn't affected by it, seems like he's a productive member of society. Otherwise, fine. That's on him. But like, I wouldn't want to.
Yeah. And I think it's slowly kind of tempering itself over time. Like, I just rewatched seasons 1 and 2 and Kyle was turned up to 11 both of those seasons, like every night. So this
yeah,
is
he
like,
was sending it.
Yeah, he sends it maybe 50 or 60. He sends it like 40 or 50% less than he sent it like 5 years ago.
But again, I think that's only because of like the situation they were in. I think when they go out to bars again, like I think it's going to be old because even season 4, we're so quick to forget that Kyle was telling Amanda that he like didn't want to be engaged anymore when he was blackout drunk and like she threw a pillow yeah. at him. Like, yes, they've been great this season. And like, I always root for Kyle and Amanda. I think they're genuinely good for each other. But like, again, it's like, I don't know, Kyle's a wild card. So we'll see.
I was during season 4 very worried for their relationship Same. And their relationship's future. And especially when they went from that fight or like the fights they had to the engagement, I was getting like Tom and Katie vibe, like my Tom and Katie radar was going off. But then,
yeah,
you're right. I forget and forgive extremely quickly because this season yeah. was like, their love is real. I believe in it. And that's it.
True love, baby. Relationship goals. I'm like, wait, actually. But it is so funny how they've done a 180 from last season. And it was, I was living with my parents for a little bit during like the beginning of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Just because I didn't want to be like stuck in my tiny studio apartment. And that's when season 4 was airing. And it's just so weird that now it's like, oh my God, Kyle and Amanda are great. Hannah is all of a sudden this villain. Everyone loves Luke. Like, so much has changed since season four.
So much has changed. Lindsay is shit-faced throughout most of this episode, but especially on like the first night. And she really comes for Stravi in what I believe, I was like, I love Linz. I'm a hubcap through and through, but this was a lot for me. I was like, you don't need to be in a relationship with someone if you're talking to them like this in front of your mutual friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was clearly just not a match. Just not a match. And I think, yeah, Lindsay was kind of forcing it because of the timeline thing that she has been, you know, very adamant to point out that the timeline was very specific to Stravi. It wasn't like, you know, just her timeline in life. But yeah, I'm happy to see that they are no longer together because I don't think they're good for each other. They have very different like attachment styles. Like she's, you know, she clearly has abandonment issues. And she can't be with someone that's always going to like pick up and leave. Like, you know, I think that Lindsay is a very difficult person to be with. And that's why the person that she is with needs to be, you know, right for her. That can handle her. And like Stravi clearly cannot.
Yeah. And I'm all for like, I love seeing Lindsay wild out and like babe out on her boyfriends. Like, I think it's hilarious. But this turned dark, especially in this episode where it's like we've already seen this relationship completely fall apart, then kind of get back together without really discussing or addressing any of the core issues like that caused your fallout in the first place. And then just to see, I just hate when like, I hate anyone confronting their partner and like railing them in front of a group of their friends. I just think it's like kind of abusive behavior.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for sure. Yeah, I mean, like, that's why it's good that Lindsay has a friend like Danielle to, like, be honest with her. That was amazing when she was like, am I the problem in this relationship? And Danielle was like, yes. Like, not even, like, a moment hesitation. Like, she was just like, yes. And that's great. Like, Danielle is such an MVP this season. Love her and Robert. But, yeah, it's a pattern for Lindsay. I'm glad she's in therapy. And she's self-aware enough to know where it stems from. When she was like, I push men to the limit to see if they will leave. Like, I'm testing them. I'm like, that is something that, you know, probably took years of therapy for her to maybe even come to that conclusion. And she's self-aware enough to realize it and hopefully work on it. But yeah, I mean, I love Lindsay too. I'm a hubcap. I hadn't heard that before, but like, I'm a hubcap for sure.
Yeah, hubcaps, we roll together over bumpy terrain and on the smooth highways of life.
No matter what, baby.
No matter what, we're here for you. We're like the Land Rover Discoveries. Like, you can take it all. I would be excited to see like single Lindsay on the prowl next season as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, we have watched kind of these toxic, like Everett, Carl, Stravi, like, it always turns into like a toxic situation with Lindsay. I think that, you know, like she just should relax. Like, no more serious relationships in the summer house for her. Like, just like she needs to relax, let it go, have fun, like do her own thing. And I feel like she's kind of getting there.
Mm-hmm. I could see her being in the kind of relationship where the guy doesn't come on summer house, but like, she gets to go do her thing. And then like, maybe he would come in for like a dinner or something every once in a while, but like she could have her own identity separate from like a summer house relationship.
Yeah. And I mean, look, like going off of that, maybe like subconsciously being on a reality show is like exacerbating her need to like lash out at her boyfriends. Like, it might be making her relationships worse and she's not even realizing it. So I think that's a great idea. She needs to just date like an accountant, like a low key, like doesn't want to be on camera. Like, just, you know,
Because that's a good point, because now that I think back over all the time, like it's really entertaining to watch her like flip the fuck out.
Reality TV gold.
Yeah, but it's also just like, you're not gonna have anything that lasts this way.
Yeah, oh my God, this is like a breakthrough, I feel like.
This is a huge breakthrough.
I feel like it is. It's like, I feel like she is exploiting her own, like, It's reality TV gold. It makes for great TV. You know, all the iconic. What was she in season one? Do you remember what she said to Everett when she got up from the table?
She's like, I'm going to go fuck another guy.
Sleep in his bed.
In his bed tonight. And then, yeah.
So many iconic moments. Like, yes, I love it. But yeah, it's like, I feel like deep down, it really is Lindsay kind of sacrificing her own happiness for like our viewing pleasure sometimes, mm-hmm. because none of these relationships turn out normal. It's all turned into like very entertaining reality show messiness.
Yeah. Which doesn't equal necessarily like true love.
Right.
Speaking of true love, I think we saw Hannah and Dez say, I love you for the first time over their FaceTime conversation, which mm-hmm. I was just like, your relationship is wild to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, there was someone, I think it was Bravo Historian on Twitter, who pointed this out, how she was like, hey, like I got in a fight with my roommates, my best friends, like the people that she lives with. And his first reaction was like, fuck them. I love you so much. Like, it's just like manipulative. It's kind of a red flag where it almost seems like he's like isolating her. Yeah. It's like very red flaggy. Everything about it is like just creepy. It was creepy to me. It wasn't cute. It was weird.
Yeah. It was like, we've never said this before, but like, I love you. And then she's like, I love you too. And I was like, whoa. Like, first of all, you're not even really being honest about the fight that you got into and the fact that you like got, you kind of like blew up in the moment and got defensive. It's a very revisionist history to Dez.
Always. Oh, exactly. That's what it is. It's like, she's not a reliable narrator. You can't have that, because like, we need the truth. I want like whatever, you know, on like Real Housewives of Potomac, like whatever happens with like Candace and Monique, I want to know that I'm getting the truth. If you come out to be a pathological liar, like I just don't want you on my TV. Same with Jax Taylor again. Like, I just feel like it's not the same as Jax Taylor, as in like he literally is a pathological like lies because he gets pleasure out of like pulling the wool over people's eyes. For Hannah, I feel like it's like she is deluded. And I think a lot of it was like, again, they were like saying, I love you, like for the first time with the cameras on them. I just think that they thought that I think that they thought they would come off way differently. I think that Hannah thought she was going to come. Like, I don't think people are like, don't you think she was playing the villain role? I'm like, I think she genuinely thought she was like going to come off great.
I think, yeah, I think she thought like, I have a huge fan base, like fuck Luke, like I will expose him for being like an asshole. Now I'm friends with Sierra and I have that like working in my favor, and like people will side with me and then be so glad that I found love. But it's just like, it, you see her every step that she takes, it just gets kind of like cringier and cringier. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine like being in her shoes is like, you know, she's like 28 or 29 or whatever, and like coming from not being famous to then being like famous from a reality show that's like a total fantasy world. Mm-hmm. Like, it's interesting to see her navigate these waters, because I don't think I don't think like Paige would fall into this trap. But then you kind of never know, like with Bravo shows, like who will end up being like the villain and who will come across well, until it's like
See their true colors. You see their true colors when, you know, when you get some fame and some money and people's egos come into play. And I think it was actually interesting, because I was listening to Kyle and Amanda, like I said, on Danny Pellegrino's podcast, and they said that, you know, when this was airing, it was the lockdown when I was staying at my parents' house, and that was like right before they started filming season 5, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think Hannah, from what it sounds like, and this is kind of what Amanda said, like not verbatim, but I'm paraphrasing, that Hannah was kind of riding that high from season 4, like of everyone shipping her and Luke, and like a male model, like fighting Austin, like getting jealous of Austin flirting with her, you know, like it seems like she was kind of riding that high, and like, yeah, Bravo chat room, like her Giggly Squad fan base. Like, she probably thought, you know what? I'm bigger than the show. I'm bigger than everyone. Like, I'm just gonna, you know, like they need me. Like, I'm just going to, like, you know, I'm the star. I'm the hero. I'm who they're going to want to root for. Like you said, like, we'll see, like, oh my God, that's so great. Luke is such an asshole, but now she's found love with Dez. And it's like the exact opposite.
No, it's like, you actually, like, were kind of maybe unstable this entire time and no one knew that. And then now you're showing that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to see that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, it's as soon as someone becomes an unreliable narrator, it's like, I don't care what you have to say because it's probably all bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all it takes is like just a shred of humility and self-deprecation mm-hmm. to just be like, did I freak out about that? Like, and I think that
right.
is what endears viewers to mm-hmm. these people is like, you don't need to be perfect. I mean, Paige is interesting because she does present like guarded and like very put together and mm-hmm. has her way of performing on camera that is like, there's not a lot of vulnerability, but that's kind of okay. Like, she mm-hmm. pulls it off well. But I think for someone like Hannah, it's like Leah McSweeney, for example, like, she got really like fucked up on Roni and like did a lot of crazy stuff, but she had a good sense of humor about it mm-hmm. and wasn't like, but it's also, that was her first season. So,
well, yeah,
this could go.
That's all it is. It's like showing you have to have that side of you that people want to root for, like mm-hmm. that humble side, you know, like, that is what it is. It's like, if you don't have that, like, I've been rewatching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills from the beginning, and like, Camille Grammer season one came off really bad. And then at the reunion, she kind of takes accountability. And then season two, she's like way better. It's like, I don't know. I think that there is like a path to redemption as like a Bravo villain, but I don't see it here because Hannah just doesn't have those qualities that make you someone that like we can be sympathetic towards.
Yeah. It's interesting that someone who does come across as so manipulative, I think kind of, I don't think that she even means to be manipulative, because I think that if she were truly manipulative, she would be able to manipulate also the audience into like eventually rooting for her. And we see her just like shanking that. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's a yeah. Thing. Yeah. I mean, I think that was the plan all along, was to manipulate the audience into believing that Luke is like this evil, abusive, narcissistic sociopath. Even mm-hmm. when it was like, when the show was airing at the beginning of the season, she was posting stuff on Instagram about like like relationships with narcissists and like abusive relationships, like kind of hinting that it was Luke. And it was like, we have watched this man with his guitar, like chopping his wood. Like, come on. We know Luke at this point well enough to know that like, he is not some like sociopath. Like, he's just not. Sorry. I never saw that. So, like, when everyone was like anti-Luke to begin with, I was like, he's just your classic fuckboy.
Yeah. I got kind of like lit up over the Luke thing, but then when everyone started turning on him, I was like, wait a second, like, this guy is not, I don't think he's like smart enough to orchestrate this entire thing. I think he's just like a hot guy who has a lot of women throwing themselves at him constantly. So he has a lot of options and no real reason to want to settle down with any one person in particular.
Exactly. And like, does that make him evil? No, it just makes him your average, like, good looking fuckboy. And like, the fact that Carl and Kyle are like on their high horse, like lecturing Luke as if they're like, you know, two completely, you know, reformed angels. Like, come on. Like, yeah, I thought
we'll
that was
see.
Such bullshit.
About Carl, like how he navigates the relationship waters. Like, I'm actually intrigued to see if there is a change, like if it was more of like an alcohol, like substance problem that contributed. I mean, I'm sure that doesn't help when it comes mm-hmm. to dating, but part of me thinks like the issues underneath all that stuff are a little more deep-seated and he might have like trouble get with intimacy and then with monogamy even. And like,
I think so too. I've thought about that a lot, that I think Carl's issues, I think the reason that he's still single, I think go deeper than like, you know, him just being like this like partier, like not wanting to settle down. Like, I think it goes deeper than that.
Yeah. And I think that kind of stuff makes it easy for him to like whole like shenanigans with women, like in season, it was like season one or two where he and that Workus twin,
Lauren Workus.
Like, yeah. Where he's like, oh, she's like, we're going to go out tonight and then we'll like cuddle later, blah, blah, blah. You'll hang with me. And he's like, definitely, definitely. Then they like went out and he just left with another woman like immediately. And I think it's like easy to justify doing that when you've been drinking or there's like other shit involved. But I still think that he would pull shit just in different ways.
Yeah, for sure. And people keep shipping him and like Paige and him and Sierra. And I'm like, no, just no,
I think him and Sierra together. Like there seems Sierra like was.
Did you watch after. Watch What Happens Live last night?
No, I didn't. What happened?
She was. So it was Sierra, Kyle, and oh, my God.
Was it Amanda or no, Lindsay? I saw.
Yeah, Sierra, Kyle, and Lindsay. And Kyle always, he was very classy about like the Hannah stuff. Like he always keeps it above the belt. Like he is so taking the high road. So I respect that. But Sierra was basically like, she made a lot of comments about like regretting hooking up with Carl and like just like thinking that Carl's hot. Like all of the games that they were playing, she like, you know, was always like just making comments about loving Carl.
Wait, so, did she hook up with Carl?
No, they. I don't think they actually hooked up because we would have known. We would see it. Yeah. I mean, maybe in Winterhouse, actually. It could happen.
Winterhouse, though? I think she's with
Austin.
Craig or Austin. One of
That's what. Guys. So Amanda debunked that on the podcast I listened to. And I like believe, I kind of believe that Amanda would know because she was on Winterhouse also.
Yeah.
So I think that might just be a rumor. But I don't know. I'm like, if Paige and Carl were going to be together, they would have been together. I think they're like purely in the friend zone at this point.
Yeah, it seems like that too. I'm sad that we didn't get to see the like Paige giving Carl a lap dance on the boat footage.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that was that in a preview and then there was no follow-up and
there was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff that was like teased that never came to, even like the Luke and Lindsay hookup, how like they use the audio of Lindsay being like, hello Lucas, to make it seem like they like fucked, and like everyone was like, okay, so Lindsay and Luke fucked, and like that obviously didn't end up being true.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Luke's love for fire knows no bounds.
He's so wholesome. Like I love, that's the side of Luke that I've always seen, the nice wholesome Midwestern boy. And everyone was like, no, Luke's a fuck boy. I'm like, so what? Like, okay. I think that he can be two things at once. He can be a little bit of a fuckboy, and he's also just like a genuinely nice Midwestern boy deep down.
He's incredibly earnest and gives a whole speech about like, he's like, I love the fire, just gotta love it. And it's been such a great weekend. And like, it's amazing being with my friends. And he's like, cheers to a great weekend. And he was like, sitting by a fire. So it's just like even more incredible.
Like, that was a favorite part. He was like, I just love fires. I've always felt like a connection to them. It's just, you know, sitting around the fire with people I love. No better way to end, you know, a summer. Sitting around a fire. I was like, okay, we get it, Luke. But yeah, he's so earnest. Like when Amanda and Kyle were walking down the aisle and he just goes, you look amazing, to Amanda. I was like, oh my God, stop. I actually tweeted that. I was like, Luke is a wholesome angel and you cannot tell me otherwise. And Amanda liked my tweet. Like, oh my God, I just love him.
Yeah, I think it would be like, I find him to be attractive. Like just like, that's a fact. Like he is just an attractive person, but I think probably a little too earnest for me.
Yeah, the more I get to know, well, that's what it is. It's like now that we see how nice he actually is, he becomes less attractive. It's sad, but it's true. It's like when he was like mysterious and like the bad boy, it's like, yeah, he's fucking sexy. But now that he's like, you know, we've seen him with like his glasses, would that make his eyes look really big? Remember when he was like, really? Like at the table with Des?
Yeah, that was incredible. Like I like to see that because then it humanizes him more and just makes me root for him more because I know who he is. Because really the only context we had with Luke was like his relationship or lack of relationship with Hannah. Like I feel like that was his entire storyline last season and the only kind of discussions that would happen with his like character would be like, how does he feel about Hannah?
Yeah. And that's why like I'm really annoyed that drama kind of overshadowed like anything else we could have seen with Luke this season. Like it was him getting bullied for like the Hannah bullshit. Like I wish that like we could have seen what could have happened with Sierra and Luke, which, you know, Sierra says that she like made her own decisions, which I'm sure like if that's what she said, then like, I believe her. At the same time, as a viewer, you're like, okay, it does seem like Hannah was kind of manipulating the situation. And like, I would have liked to see, Sierra, like any sort of like love interest situation. There was just like nothing.
Yeah, it was interesting because like going back to season two, when Carl brings Danielle into the house, it was like a similar approach to like initiating a new cast member. Even if they weren't together, it was like still someone that they had a romantic history with. And then we see how they mesh into the house, and like, no one had really thrown such a grenade into like that kind of potential relationship before until Hannah came along and just like torched any chance of Sierra getting together.
Right. Like that I would have liked to see how things would have organically unfolded without like Hannah's like manipulation and like producing.
Yeah.
Even though it was a great season, I still loved it. I still loved it, watched every second.
I'm thinking also that like, I'm glad that things did shake out the way they did for Luke, because I feel like it gives us a chance as viewers to just see him in the house and like let his personality come through and get to know who he is with the other castmates, because it's like, it's taken a long time to get to know him. But now I'm like, after that fire speech, I was like, okay, like, I get it.
Oh my God, it's the fire speech that did you in, not his best-selling single, hit single, Suit and Tie, Hair Slicked Back.
Guitar is really difficult for me. Like that, a man with a guitar, like
triggering.
An acoustic guitar, yeah, I'm triggered. And like, I think I find a man with an acoustic guitar more cringe than I do like Hannah and Dez. Like I would rather watch them fucking all over that house than see any grown man play an acoustic guitar and like songwrite. Yeah, I would
see people really like, you know, lit up Luke this season with the guitar, like all of the scenes with him singing. But I like it, okay? I like it, Luke voice.
I love the unabashed love for him and his guitar. I think that there is probably like a huge like section of the viewers that do really appreciate his musical abilities, so I'm glad that that's like represented as well.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Ryan and I actually, with the podcast that we do on Mondays, we were like, Luke, will you please come on and sing your like hit single? And he didn't give us like a yes or no answer, but he sent us like the full lyrics of the song. So I have the lyrics.
Okay,
like,
that's a huge
it was amazing.
Get.
Yeah. I know. I was like, that's an exclusive. Yeah.
Paige, her lack of energy when FaceTiming with Perry is unreal to me. Like the way that she goes from being like fun, flirty, fabulous Paige into literally could give less of a shit about someone.
It reminded me so much of like my own like past relationship. It just did. Like, that's why I'm like making a sad face, because I'm like, she's just over it. Like, she's checked out. She's over him. She's over it. She just doesn't know how to like, you know, initiate it. And it's, yeah, it's sad. It's sad. I was like, yeah, I've been there. Like, I know how it feels. Yeah, it's shitty. And yeah, when she was like, I'm away from him and it feels great. Like, that's a bad sign. You're over it. Like,
lots of bad signs are afoot. And also when she's like, I feel like he's going to be blindsided by me wanting to break up. I was like, I don't think so. I think he really picks up what you're putting down.
Yeah, seriously. When he's like, you don't speak to me anymore.
He's like, you and never when sound he excited.
when he FaceTimed her like on last week's episode, and he was like, you don't pay attention to me. You don't. I was like, I'm so triggered. Like, that's something that like my ex-boyfriend would have done when I was like not answering his FaceTimes or whatever. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
If you find yourself on either side of that kind of interaction, you deserve a second look at the relationship.
Right.
Maybe,
and it's like
together.
And that's what it is. It's like, sometimes it's like you almost wish that he had like done something really wrong, like cheated or something, so you would have a reason, when you're just kind of like, you can just tell Paige is over it, because if she really wanted, she was head over heels with him, she would have like, you know, kept dating him no matter like if the show was still filming, because it's only, you know, 6 weeks.
Yeah. So. And also it's like they have this travel, or they had this like whole travel plan looming of like going to Miami and getting a condo together, and not being excited about that is like also a huge sign.
Exactly. Like, that's when I mean, obviously we knew they broke up, but there were rumors about why they broke up. Like, I think there were rumors that he cheated on her, which clearly is like not true. Like, she was just over it. So that cleared it up at least.
Totally. I love drunk Lindsay showing her areola is really life affirming to me.
Yeah. Lindsay's proud of those. Turn.
Yeah. And I'm proud She's of her proud for getting of those her, babies. Her boobs done.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know who has the best boobs in the house though?
Amanda.
Yes. Seeing them last night, I was like, oh my God. I'm trying to look respectfully, but it's so hard. Yeah, I know. Her body is just insane. They all have insane bodies. They're all
so hot. Like, it's unbelievable to me. Like, them just hanging out in swimsuits all the time on camera. Like, I could never. But I appreciate that each of them are gorgeous from head to toe. And it feels good to just watch really attractive people, like, have drama with each other.
Yeah. And like, think about like all the angles, all the different camera angles. Like, if there's like one bad picture of me in a bathing suit, I'm like, oh my God. But like,
no, I'd be you like, know, it's you like, need to film me from like an upward angle, kind of far away with like this lens and like that. And like, I would constantly just be like,
I'd be like, only on my good side, only on my good side. Like, they're like, that's not how this works.
Yeah, but like any angle, they all look fucking incredible.
Yeah, they really do. So, but yeah, every episode, that's actually how my DM relationship with Amanda started, because I had made a joke about like, you know, how good she looks in a bikini and how she's just a hot piece of ass. And she basically responded, she was like, this is why I never wear like bikini tops like that. Like, her bikini top, like, moments where her like boobs are spilling out. I'm like, no, we love it, Amanda. Like, no, you look amazing.
I crave Amanda's big naturals on my TV screen. Yeah. Like, in any way that she cares to show them, I'm here for it.
I know. I'm going to miss those the most.
There was like a clip from like the season review at the beginning of the episode, and when she like walks away, she's wearing like a green bikini, and she's like, oh God, it's like when Hannah says something to Kyle. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I want to screenshot this. Like, how do you look? Especially think about being in a house for 6 weeks where you're drinking every night and just like eating Postmates, like tacos and takeout mac and cheese, like, and pizza. That wouldn't work for me.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I think that a lot of it is that, and I've clearly studied this. I have a master's in summer house sociology, but I think they do. And there's nothing wrong with taking Adderall. Like, I don't take Adderall, but as an ADD person, I take other medicine for it. So like, I get, you know, having to take Adderall, like, I get it. There's, I'm not demonizing like taking ADD medicine, whatever it is. But I think a lot of it does have to do with some of the stuff they're taking that helps them stay awake. And also Loverboy apparently is like low-cal, which I haven't. It's really expensive. I've had it before because I went to like the summer house premiere party like pre-COVID last year, and it was served there. And I'm just not a tea person, but like, and it's also just really expensive. But I think it's low-cal. It makes you not have a hangover, apparently. I'm like just advertising for them, but that's just what I heard. And also, so a lot of them work out because they're not hungover. So they can work out in the mornings, which is why we see like Kyle going on runs. So I've like pieced together how they like maintain their bodies with their lifestyles.
Yeah, because Kyle's fucking shredded. When he was shirtless getting ready for the wedding, I was like, how?
Because he literally acts like a frat boy. I'm like, how does your body look like? It's because he wakes up, Loverboy doesn't make him hungover, and he wakes up at 8 a.m. and like goes on run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whatever they're doing, it's working out insanely well. Kyle goes, when they're all playing drunk Jenga, he goes, this is the first time I've really felt like I don't want summer to end. It's like, I'm pretty sure you feel like this every single summer for your entire life.
Yeah, like, okay, Kyle, seriously, like, please, let's be real. But I mean, I will say, I think that Loverboy has really like I think that their business relationship, like lover boy being successful, like a multitude of things, I think, have made their relationship like just way better this season. And I think that Kyle maybe is like, maybe he is growing up. TBD, we'll see.
I think he's made leaps and bounds from the Kyle in early seasons. Like having just recently watched him and being like comparing and contrasting, like he's definitely been on a true journey. And yeah. Sometimes you just don't see that often in a show like this. Like the whole journey is like, you might get richer and like get more filler, but you're still like the same piece of shit you were in season one.
Yeah.
But he is like, there's strides being made.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting because, again, I was listening to, I think it was Lindsay on Ryan Bailey's podcast, like another time that I wasn't on it. But Lindsay was saying that, you know, when the show started, it was just Lindsay and Kyle's group of friends. And they were just like, we go to the Hamptons every summer, like might as well just have some cameras like come along. And, you know, that was like when we first met like Kyle and Amanda in season one, and just like how the show has evolved since then and how their relationship has evolved. It's just like crazy that we've just gotten to watch all of it. So I think, yeah, Amanda's right. It's like we do deserve the wedding at this point.
They really do. And I'm happy that like Loverboy has been such a success, because seeing Kyle in the early seasons be like a fledgling startup entrepreneur,
a serial entrepreneur. Whenever someone says that, I'm like,
whatever. Like that's like the thing that you never want to see on someone's like Bumble or Raya profile. Yeah. Like where you're just like, oh my god, it's a left swipe for me. But for him, he's really made it work. And like he found it. He struck gold in the sense that I feel like he found something that he's really passionate about, which is drinking, and then managed to turn it into a lifestyle that he can make money off of. So that's really the dream.
Right. And I feel like they're just such a good pair, because Kyle's like the business side and then Amanda does the branding and like the creative, and it just worked out for them. And yeah, I'm happy for them. I mean, yeah. And now they're employing Carl, and you know, we saw Carl struggling to meet his sales quotas for several seasons. So happy for Carl. Just good stuff all around.
Such good stuff. I love I also loved seeing when Stravi is like finally loses his shit on Lindsay, and he's like, I'm leaving. The fact that like everyone would not let him leave was incredible. And I couldn't understand if it was like, I think he's drunk, so he shouldn't go anywhere, period. Because like last time he just like got in his car and left. But like just Danielle like stealing his bag and like putting it in his room, and Kyle being like, bro, like just dumbfounded, like
I Kyle's know. Response,
like is like, why would anyone want to leave this paradise?
I know, when actually it's like the most haunting house now. Looking at it now, I'm like, this house is so haunting.
What
dark shit happened here?
Yeah, like the second or like
I the layout the makes no sense.
The level that you walk into with like that huge dining room table and like the wood chair that's like all warped. That has some balcony that looks over another area, but what area is that looking over?
I think the pool is like kind of on the side of the house, I think. So I don't know. I don't know. But then this up the stairs is the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then I just assume more bedrooms.
I haven't seen before.
I know. It makes no sense. And then you like have to walk out to the pool from the basement where the bedrooms are, instead of like, you know, putting it to the kitchen is like you walk out from the kitchen. Like that would just make so much more sense, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's a real hell house in that way.
It really is. It's like that this season just felt different in a lot of ways, and I think part of it was the house and the vibes and just COVID. Obviously it just was kind of a different season. It was still entertaining, but like just different vibes than we're used to. I feel like
I'm glad that they did this season. Like I feel like it will be canon in like the summer house as a whole, but I do miss like the summer house that we've seen in like the last three seasons.
Yeah, I think that this season definitely cemented Summer House as like a Bravo, like, you know, powerhouse, Summer House powerhouse. Because before I felt like, you know, it was like Summer House, like it kind of felt like, I don't know, some of the more random shows on Bravo that like I can't even think of right now. But now it's like, oh my God, like all the people that, you know, I know that watch Vanderpump, that love Vanderpump, love Housewives, that hadn't watched Summer House before, were like seeing, you know, all of the tweets all over Twitter and people being like, oh my God, Hannah, and like drama, and like everyone tweeting. They're like, oh my God, I have to start this show. So many people started Summer House just because of, like, you know, people talking about season 5. So I will say Hannah did one thing right, even though, you know, the new viewers tuning in, you know, aren't going to be watching her anymore after this season, probably.
They're not burn dogs after this season, but who knows? Yeah, I'm glad that everyone's discovering Summer House. I was like more of a latecomer myself, and it's been one of the greatest discoveries of 2020 for me. But
you started in 2020.
I started in 2019.
Okay.
Did I start in 2019?
Did you start with did you start from season one, or did you start with like one of the middle seasons?
I started watching when season 4 premiered, and then while that was going on, I watched season 3 to catch up, and then I had only watched like season 3 and season 4, and I finally went back and really dug into season 1 and 2 like this past weekend. So now I'm totally caught up now.
Okay. Okay.
And I've seen everything.
Yeah. I have been, you know, on the Summer House train since that backdoor pilot, the Vanderpump backdoor pilot. So they snatched me up right away. They tricked me.
You've been an OG, I think, otherwise, from the jump.
Yes. And let me tell you, getting rid of the Workus twins was a great decision, because that's what I always say to people that are starting the show. I'm like, start, you won't be able to get into it right away if you start from season 1. So I always say, like, if you want to catch up with like this current drama, just start from season 3. And then you do 3, 4, 5, then you're caught up, and then you can kind of like go back to the Workus circus.
Yeah, and then you can enjoy it in a way, because you know that it's going to end eventually. Like, and that's the best way to interact with the Workus circus, cuz then I found them extremely entertaining and like watchable. But I also was extremely relieved that it was a short-lived. And also Steven, who ended up being one of the darkest characters I've seen on the show.
Yes, for like, you know, the Carl stuff with him, like Steven had a lot of potential. Like, I liked him at first.
Season one, I was obsessed with him. I was like, why did he have to go away? Like, we need like a gay guy on the show. We need several gay guys on the Summer House.
There definitely needs to be like a little bit of a shakeup. I mean, obviously there's the core group of friends.
Yeah.
You know, we have your Kymanda, you're Carl, you're Lindsay, you're Danielle, you're Luke. I would say Luke really won people over. Mm-hmm. I would say that's the core group. I think the question mark is like Paige, Hannah, Sierra. I think they need more like sexual tension. I'm like, that's what was missing. Like, we need more like hookup drama. Like, I want that. Not like the, you know, Des and Hannah kind.
Yeah.
But I want more like, you know, like, I like people to ship. Like, Paige, I just don't ship Paige and Carl. I would have liked to see Sierra and Carl make like a, you know, love connection. Like, I, Winter House, maybe we'll like get to watch maybe something go down in Winter House. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited for Winter House. I'm glad that Bravo is expanding that universe and like merging different shows, because they're all functioning at the same level, I think, of like fame and viewership. So that's just a smart idea to merge them. I wish that Vanderpump cast members could have been worked in somehow, but like,
they invited, I heard that the Toms were invited.
Yeah, but Tom, they said, and Tom, no, because they didn't want to be away from their significant others.
But I do think that would have, because I feel like, yes, like the Toms, I think when we talk about like Bravo like hierarchy, like the Toms are a little bit more like, it would have kind of felt like dad and dad there versus like the Southern Charm, even though they're about the same age as like Kyle Cook. Like,
they are dad, like they're, I get what you're saying, it wouldn't be exactly the right fit.
Yeah, because Craig and Austin are still like your young bachelors. Like, Tom and Tom are homeowners with like wives, basically. So like, I don't know, I'm still like, Kyle and Amanda are still like young and fun. I just think that Tom and Tom, I don't know, would have, it would have felt different. Not that I've seen it yet, but I can feel how it's going to, it's a lot of like single hot young people, which is what I'm excited for. It's like, you know, MTV doing like Real World Road Rules, like cross pollinating like their like hot young stars. I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Totally. And the Vanderpump cast like kind of slowing down and maturing, like they both matured and bent like life benchmark ways, like buying a house or whatever, or like having babies, but I don't think they matured like mentally or emotionally really. And but seeing people reach those benchmarks like made me less interested in them as like a viewer.
Yeah, I mean, yes, for sure, because I think it's interesting you say that, because I can't remember where I read this, but I read somewhere that the age at which you become famous for some people is like when you like actually just stop maturing. Like you are emotionally at that age forever, which is fascinating. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how it works. But I was like, that makes sense. Thinking of the Vanderpump Rules, thinking of the Vanderpump Rules cast, and you think of like, you know, like Jax Taylor just buying a house and getting married just to act like he's like a normal human and not like a sociopath alien in like a skin suit. Everything that he's posted about his baby so far, it sounds like it's like an alien trying to like talk like how they think a human talks. You know, like it's creepy. Like he is such a sociopath. But yeah, for me, I'm like, if Jax is doing it, no thank you.
No, I don't trust it. I don't trust any of it. I feel like they're all like, it's all smoke and mirrors, and I'm being like lied to or manipulated or gaslit somehow through their like, their just their financial evolutions. But I think that's also a very LA thing where you can present in this one way and it looks a certain way, but then I mean that's like life obviously, but it just, it seems, it also reads as just very like psychos in LA who like have all these things. So you would think like, oh, that means that they're somehow good people if you're like a materialistic, like vapid person. But then underneath it, you're like, wait, these people are fucking crazy. I feel like that happens a lot more out here than it does in other cities.
Well, for sure. I feel like a lot of that is like keeping up with the Joneses. Like that's why they all did everything right in a row. Babies. They all got the same Valley Village looking fucking house. They all got pregnant at the same time. It's like they're all just trying to keep up with each other. And yeah, I mean, it sounds, I'm like, how are they making money? They don't have like brand partnerships like Jax and Britney. Like what do they sell? Like what they're not getting Bravo checks anymore. Like, of course it would make sense. And Jax is kind of trying to like, you know, cause he's like a narcissist. He has to like prep everyone to act like leaving LA is just purely his decision. Like he's like, he keeps hinting that like LA is, you know, he's like over LA, like blah, blah. It's like, no, we just know you can't afford it anymore. So.
Oh, yeah. And I think he's hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt to the IRS as well, which no one really is talking about. But I love and am obsessed with IRS drama. So
same. And he's like my bookkeeper.
A long time.
He was like, you know, everyone gets a bad bookkeeper. It's like, what? No, that's not.
I think it's like everyone who makes paychecks that don't take money out and then you don't decide to like put money aside for taxes and you actively decide not to pay your taxes, you're going to fuck yourself over eventually.
Right. Of course, it's like, it's just so Jax to like deflect the blame like in any way possible. His bookkeeper. Like I've never even heard someone use that in like, you know, that context before. Like he's just like so not even human. Like he's so scary.
Yeah. I wonder if I'm like, when is he gonna fade away? Like will it happen? Will there be like a Jax and Britney like comeback in some way?
I think they'll go the way of like many, you know, ex-housewives, like, you know, the show will go on without them and then they'll kind of just like cling to relevancy in any way they can, maybe like Marriage Boot Camp or whatever those I'm sure they'll do a bunch of those shows.
Yeah, like get me out of here, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here or something.
I would, can you imagine Britney and Jax on that? Britney would be like, rotten hell, Jax.
Yeah, that would be actually kind of amazing. I wish I had like the ability to see into the future just like 5 years from now to see where all the Vanderpump cast members, like the OG ones and Lala are from now, because like I can't even conceive of what another season of Vanderpump Rules looks and feels like without all the people that got fired. And
it's like really sad. It's really sad because it's not like the viewers like are dwindling. The viewers will always be there. Like we're no matter what it is, like we're still gonna fucking watch.
Yeah,
like it's gonna be terrible. I know they're about to start filming season 9. It's gonna be bad, I'm sure, because season 8 was awful. But like we're still gonna watch. But like at some point it's like, let's, you know, end things while we can. I want it to go for one more season because I don't want to give like Jax and all of them the satisfaction of like, you know, oh, the show couldn't go on without us, sweetheart. You see that? Like, that's definitely what he would say if like the show just completely ended.
But if it goes on for another season and it's terrible and then it ends, then he gets to say the same thing. So we need it to go on for like 3 more seasons so that he can never make that claim.
But I think, yeah, that's true. That's true. It's just in general, it's like all good things must come to an end. It's just the formula was so magic. It was like lightning in a bottle. That's so hard to recapture because it was even like before. What I love about pre like 2013 reality shows is that's like before Instagram was like, you know, a source of income. So people going on reality shows were just like, yeah, I'll be a train wreck on national television. Don't give a fuck how it ruins my prospects, my life. Like that was when going on reality TV was like kind of like career suicide. So that's what I love about pre-Instagram reality TV is that everyone on there was just like, you know, there were no ulterior motives to get famous. I feel like they all were kind of just being train wrecks on TV, exploiting their lives just, you know, I'm sure, you know, to be famous in the long run, but like there was no Instagram yet. Like well, they
they all wanted fame really badly, but they also had no talent or revenue or like outlets which they could achieve that fame aside from just being on this show, which like I don't know if they really thought that would make them as famous as they were.
This is that is Touch in Public Erasure. What's his band called?
Charles McMansion.
Yeah, Charles McMansion.
God, RIP to Isaac Cappy, co-owner of, or co-lead man of Charles McMansion, who got heavily involved in QAnon. And then sadly took his own life. Yeah.
Wait, who is this?
This was, remember, okay, Charles McMansion was Sandoval and this other guy.
Was that the other guy?
Yeah. Isaac Cappy was the other guy in Charles McMansion who got like, he got like way, way, way heavily into QAnon, like became like a ride or die soldier of Q and then ended up dying of suicide, I think a couple years ago.
Oh, I had no idea. That's wild.
Isn't that crazy? It's sad. It's sad, but also just like,
crazy.
Seems classically Vanderpump universe to me.
Oh my god. I'm like, we that need a is doc shocking.
About it or like a limited series.
Yeah, I'm just like, how this was literally Sandoval's like partner, and I just hadn't heard anything about this. Like I just didn't know about this. Like that's just wild that I just hadn't heard nothing. But yeah, I actually, like I was saying, I was rewatching Beverly Hills, speaking of, you know, dark things that happen.
Yeah.
Very, very dark. But the backdoor pilot for Vanderpump, I, you know, watched while I was rewatching.
So good.
And yeah, so good. And Sandoval, it was so funny watching, you know, 2012, I bet it was 2012, Sandoval be like, I want to be famous one day. I don't know for what, but I want to be famous. And I'm like, you got it. You're famous now. Good job. Yeah,
they got all the ones that said they wanted to be famous, got all their wishes and dreams came true.
Yeah, just like, not famous for anything that they thought they would be famous for, which is like modeling, acting. Like.
Yeah, it's a beautiful LA and like very specific kind of LA story that they all acted out together.
Cinderella like, story.
Yeah. And those seasons, like I consider Vanderpump Rules to be seasons 1 through 6. And then anything after 6, I'm like, you could take it or leave it. Like it really doesn't matter in terms of like the universe of the show. But those 6 seasons were a literal gift from the heavens to
That TV was peak watchers. Reality TV. Like, that is when someone tells me that they like reality TV, but they haven't seen Vanderpump, I'm like, then you don't actually like reality TV, because that is top tier. Like, it doesn't get better than that. Those early seasons, I would argue that like seasons 1 through 3 or 4. And then even after that, it's like, I guess season 5 is Katie and Tom's wedding. I'm like thinking of the different seasons, but I just know the early
that
seasons.
That was not a great season. It wasn't one of the greats in terms of seasons, like, but it wasn't one of the worst. Like, and then season 6 was truly like, it was every single episode
Jack's
was like
Faith.
A smash.
Wait.
Yeah, Jack's Fucked Faith.
Okay, I was thinking of the main event of each season, Jack's Fucked Faith.
Jack's Fucked Faith, and then everyone finds out about it in episode 1, and then Brittany and Jack, that's what gave us Rotten Hail. That's like, it gave us so
Ariana
much.
It wasn't my phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Season 6, every
season
episode.
Season 6 also, wait, I think season 6 also was, look at him. He's
a battered wife.
Like, there were some good moments. Okay, I'll give you that. Season 6, great moments. I will accept that one. But yeah, that's why this next season, it's like so important that they get like the cast right, because it really could go really, really wrong, or it could surprise us. Because, you know, like Danica
was
MVP.
There
needs to be a camera following Danica around 24/7. Like, I would watch that. Like, Danica, I love Charlie. I think Charlie was hilarious. She seems very earnest and like just good reality TV in general. Like, her like comebacks, like, she is who Hannah thinks she is with like her witty comebacks. Like, she actually says hilarious shit. So like Charlie, and then like Raquel, DJ James Kennedy, obviously. Like, there will be some good. I'm like kind of annoyed that Lala and Rand are going to be back. Like, I'm kind of annoyed about
back
that.
Or no,
I heard 100% they will be back. Sheena obviously will be back. Like, I'm excited for Sheena's baby journey.
Thank
because that's
God
something that
Sheena,
we've kind of that's kind of something that we've been a part of and like watched. Like, she's always said that she wanted kids. So I'm like, yeah, for Lala, she said that she took out her birth control as soon as Stassi got pregnant. Like, that she literally said that. Like,
I don't understand how Lala and Rand even fit into the show without
they don't exactly
like all their friends and any sort of organic ties that they had to that show are gone now, so it makes no sense to have them in it.
I guess the only thing would be Lala and like Katie's friendship, but like, you know, before it was definitely Lala siding with like Stassi, like the mean girls always, like she was always taking the wrong side, where I feel like the viewers were definitely empathetic towards like Sheena last season and like Ariana. So like, yeah, but I don't see how she fits in either, which is why I'm pissed that she's going to be back. But I guess we'll see Baby Ocean, who's really cute.
Baby Ocean is so fucking cute. Like, yeah. I can't take it. And that, what a beautiful name. I honestly just like, I love that name. It's very unique. I haven't met another ocean. I don't know of another ocean.
It's growing on
ocean.
Me.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. I keep thinking Sheena's already given birth, but then I remember that she has just been pregnant for like,
Sheena seems like she's been pregnant for like at least 2 years now.
Cause she did like, I think she did multiple like gender reveals. So like, I keep thinking that like the baby was already born.
Gender reveals and multiple pregnancy photo shoots. I've never known someone like every few days there's a whole other pregnancy shoot that comes out with a new wardrobe, hair, makeup, and like a whole new concept behind it. And I commend her for that, because I don't think I want anyone to take a photo of me if I get pregnant.
Right. Like, you, but it's so Sheena. It's like, would we expect anything less from, you know, remember the wedding photos, the plastered all over the apartment?
Oh, yeah. Incredible. She does love her own portrait.
She does. So it's like, it's very Sheena. I'm excited for her. Hopefully, you know, her and Brock. I'm excited to watch their relationship. Like, he might be a clout chaser. I don't know yet. We'll see. I think that's the other tough thing about being on these reality shows, like the Des and Hannah thing too. It's like, you just truly never know who's using you for clout. So I don't know, but I'm excited to watch. Like, yes, like it could be a dumpster fire, but I think there's potential there.
Yeah. I mean, we won't know until we know, but I'll be watching.
Right. And we're going to watch it either way. So like, they just know that we're going to watch it. Like, it doesn't really matter how quality it is.
Yeah. Back to Summer House. Amanda asked Paige to be her bridesmaid, which I thought was very sweet. And I like seeing them, like, their friendship feels good to me. And like, I'm excited for Winter House to see that progress even further because they are really funny together.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I had been a big critic of Paige just for being like, she had said some problematic things in her podcast before. And you know, like her Hannah friendship, like, you know, Hannah's just the worst. So I think just any association with Hannah, it's like, oh, fuck you. But I do like her when she's not with Hannah. And I do like her and Amanda's friendship. And Amanda's Instagram story is like all people being like best friend goals. And like, I'm just thinking like Hannah, like actions have consequences. Like Hannah's probably like pissed that everyone's kind of like, you know, it's becoming Paige and Amanda almost like right in front of her eyes.
Yeah, that would be a tough pill to swallow for if I was in Hannah's shoes. I like, I do browse the Reddit board sometimes like for to see what the fans are saying about Summer House. And like, there's just so much speculation always about like what Hannah and Paige's friendship is going through, like and like trying to interpret like little things that happen on Giggly Squad, which is like, it's entertaining for me to read. TBD, like how much any of that, I doubt any of that is like actually true or actually the case. Like, I'm sure that they're great friends who have a successful podcast together, but the fan fiction element and just like the hot takes from the fans are always an entertaining read.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, even just the way that they talk about each other, like on podcasts, like Hannah never says anything nice about her friends on podcasts. Like I can't remember which one, it might've been the Danny Pellegrino one. I have no idea at this point. I just consume all Summer House content when Amanda was saying that, she was like, Paige is someone that's going to be in my life forever. Like, she was just saying it like genuinely, earnestly, like, you know, just on this podcast or whoever was interviewing her. And I'm like, you would never hear like Hannah just say something really nice like that. Like, you just can tell that there's like actually like a deep connection there, like a deep friendship, which is nice to watch. It's like, you know, it's, who doesn't love that?
It's beautiful. Paige, her speech to Amanda when she was like, we went to dinner. We both ordered Caesar salads and rosé. And I called my friends and told them I'd just met like a green-eyed, blonde-haired love of my life. I was like, I'm crying. Like, I love this.
Yeah. And she was like, my friends thought I met my husband, but I met my new best friend. I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cute.
It was really sweet. I love also that, so Kyle asked Carl to be his best man. And then in their, in his speech, like the fact that they don't know their own origin story as friends is like, that's like mystical to me.
But it's so like Carl and Kyle, like it just is, it's so like them that of course they don't remember because they were both blackout. Like that's who they are. That's why like, I wouldn't want to end up with either of them.
Yeah. New York, or if they met in the Hamptons, like it's like one day they were just hanging out all the time. That's what I imagine. And like, there's no, like everything before that is just like the great abyss or something.
I love that. That is how it sounds like it went down.
Yeah.
And they were like, it's so hard to make friends when you're like 30 years old, but they were like blackout and just like woke up and became best friends one day. Like, okay.
Incredible bro love story.
It is, because now look, they're best men in each other. I mean, I imagine whenever Carl walks down the aisle, which probably won't be anytime soon, you know, and they're business partners, which is, you know, it's cute.
It's very cute. I liked like the fake wedding. I've bought into all these like activities that they've had to do to pass the time and like have content to cut together for the viewers. And like, I'm not mad at it. Cause like truly thank God for Bravo doing the work and making Summer House happen despite all the COVID odds.
Yeah. I mean, they had to keep things exciting. And I mean, I would say that even though this season had a different vibe to it, it wasn't boring, which I think was what people were worried about. So, you know, Hannah may have been a menace, but it definitely wasn't boring no matter what.
You need a menace sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you do. Maybe that's exactly what the show needed. And now we can move forward without her.
I'm still just like, I want to see how this like truly grandly plays out, because I feel like it has such go up in flames like potential that could be like deeply satisfying. I don't see Bravo like getting rid of her, because I think she actually has like tons of fans.
See, but I think I think that is what she thought and what she wants you to think. But when you look at fan reactions, like, I don't know if you follow reality pollsters. It's basically this polling. No. Like, it was this girl on TikTok who I guess is a data scientist or political science. I can't remember. And her boyfriend is too. They were like, we want to do scientific data on Summer House.
Oh my God.
Incredible. And so they did an actual poll with like thousands of people responded. I took the first few and then I forgot to take like the latest. They do them after every episode. But I'm they have like, down, you know, reality. A sample size. Yeah. Reality pollsters on Instagram. And so they have a poll size of like, you know, around maybe like 2,500, 3,000 people. And oh, everyone just wants Hannah gone. So it seems like it's like as much drama as she brings. It's not the kind, it's like frustrating to watch where it's like, yeah. This is so cringy. It's so uncomfortable. It's frustrating. Like, I'm really annoyed at her. Like, I just want to scream at her because she never takes accountability for anything. It's like, so that's my prediction. That's why I don't, but I do think that, you know, there would, if there was potential for her to come back, I think that she would turn the page so quickly this season. No pun intended, page, mm-hmm. even though that makes no sense. But like, I think that she would suck up so hard now that she's not in the position of like thinking that she's on top of the world anymore. So I think it just wouldn't seem genuine either way. I think yeah. it would just seem like she was sucking up, you know, to stay on the show.
I see that. She also, when she says like she doesn't want to go to Kyle and Amanda's wedding, I was just like, you're burning, you're torching these relationships mm-hmm. and it's not going to end well for you. Because the second that right. like, in a cast like this, or like in an ensemble cast, the second that you start excluding yourself from group gatherings, you're like
toast.
You're done.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it was like a major miscalculation on her part. And I was shocked when she said that also. I was like, why wouldn't you want to go to your people that you consider your friend's wedding? Like, weddings are so fun. Like, it was just an asshole thing to say. And like, yeah, I just don't understand. Like, the way that she is burning the bridges and taking things like off the show, and the way that she's like, well, Paige just got rewarded because she didn't speak up about how she really feels about Kyle. And I'm like, what did Kyle do? I still don't understand, because he told you to take out the trash.
Yeah. Like, he's never, done anything to warrant your aggression towards him all exactly. season. And I loved that they included that like super cut of every time that she's brought up Kyle out of nowhere and tried to talk shit on him.
I was like, exactly.
We needed to be reminded.
And you can tell the producers kind of turned it on her too. Like, they weren't feeling, and that's what I also heard from someone that I know that like knows the Summer House producers, or knows someone on this. I don't really know exactly, mm-hmm. but they said that the producers were like so over her shit too. Which I think, you know, I wouldn't blame anything she does on the edit, because I hate when people do that.
No, that's
and I hate
a cop
that Hannah.
Out. There's no
and
such
Hannah's
thing.
Trying to say that, and Hannah's grandma, I guess, went in the Giggly Squad Facebook group saying that it was just the edit. Hannah's told me it's yes, her, you know, her Nana Still Got It account.
Yeah.
It's her grandma.
I don't know that account, but
why the Facebook group isn't allowed to criticize her, because her like mom and grandma are like very active in it. And yeah, they're chalking it all up to the edit. And I say, I'm like, that's so stupid, because if you didn't say that thing, there would be nothing to edit.
No, the I got a bad edit is a cop out.
Yeah, totally.
You can't, if you're not acting like a fool, you're not going to get a bad edit. Just like you said.
Yeah. And there are certain instances, you know, where it came out that Sheena, like the producer was trying to embarrass Sheena, where you can tell you're like, they're really like, you know, going hard on Sheena this season. But then you find out that like they were doing it on purpose, and you like feel bad. But again, yeah, Sheena didn't do anything inflammatory herself. Like,
no, and she
wasn't embarrassing herself.
Well, she does just naturally. Of, like, it happens very naturally, and it's an yeah. easy thing to do. Like, it's not. No, I never thought like Sheena's never been the villain to me.
Yeah.
Even when they tried to like. Be like, she's a home wrecking whore or whatever. I was like, this girl? That's
yeah, never.
What you're talking about? No way.
No, yeah. I've never looked at Sheena as a villain. I've always liked Sheena. I know that a lot of people don't, but like, I've always liked Sheena. I think that she's like genuinely a good, that's what it comes
I've
down
loved
to. Like,
her.
Are you
yeah.
a good person deep down? Because I feel like I'm pretty good at reading that. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I mean, anyone is after seasons of watching their every move. But you can kind of tell if someone's a good person. But I'm like, yeah, Sheena's like easy to root for. Yeah, she's embarrassing. But like, she can laugh at herself. She takes it in stride. She doesn't take herself seriously. She's just like a good reality TV person.
yeah, this a seasoned professional at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm obsessed with Robert. He put in the work and made that whole dinner. And I think the summer house, he needs to be back next season. We need like a chef element.
Him.
And I like seeing them when they make the dinner and have dinner at the house and stuff. Like he fits in well with the rest of the house.
There was such a good vibe. Like you could tell that he really got along with them well. Like he was very much like integrated with the group. Like Danielle said, like it was so cute how he cooked that like professional meal. And he was like, that's just a little baby cabbage salad with a little red wine vinaigrette. Like he's like so professional. And he's from my hometown. I found out, like, love him, obsessed. And I'm so happy they're still together. I would love for like a Danielle, like Robert whole thing next season. Like would love for that to be a focus because we like didn't get enough of him.
Yeah, and I feel like now it seemed like he had to get comfortable with being mm-hmm. in a not only in this house but being like on a TV show.
Yeah,
and I felt like the way that they went about their relationship was like very relatable, just in terms mm-hmm. of like two people trying to date while there also happens to be like a camera crew around, and it's like one of their part-time jobs is like being on the show. I was like, yeah. I just like, they feel very like humanized to me, and I appreciate that.
They're like awkward, like caterpillar suicide conversation. And Danielle, actually, she did some interview. Again, I consume all the content.
You but know everything. This is great.
I do.
This is great because you catch me up and then you get to like snapshot everything for the list.
Yeah, I'm like adding some more color.
Yeah.
But no, so Danielle said that when they watched that episode, how Robert was like, what the fuck? Like we talked about so many other things. Like, how can they do that to us? And Danielle was like, welcome to reality TV. Like that's what they do. Like the fact that that's what but it made them just more lovable that they were just like, you know, being like cute and like weird in the pool while like Hannah and Des were like going on a sexual rampage.
Yeah, going like sexual terrorists taking the house by storm, one room by one room.
And it's so bad because you know that Hannah freaked out when it happened on her bed, whatever season three, I can't remember, when someone was getting eaten out on her bed. Like she freaked out.
There was like a party, yeah. guest or something.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, and she freaked out. It's like, now you just like do it to someone else. Like she's just, everything about her I find extremely hypocritical. Because if you like, she's allowed to yell as loud as she wants, but if you do it back to her, you're like abusing her.
Yeah. So. I hate that kind of behavior. If you're gonna dish it out, you need to be able to also take it.
Right. At least have the self-awareness, at least like to own up to the fact, like, guys, I know I can like dish it out. Sometimes I can't take it as well. Like she has no self-awareness. Like she actually like always thinks that she's right. Like, yeah. I don't know. I could clearly talk about this for a while, but
no,
yeah.
I mean, I'm with you. It's like, it's infuriating. And when she's like, I'm not being defensive. I am defending myself. I was like,
and it's like, from what? No one is like attacking you. Like that's what being defensive. It's like, you're defending yourself for no reason. Like no one is attacking you.
Yeah.
Like, God, it's just, she's exhausting. I can't even imagine how exhausting it was to live with her.
I know. And especially it's like her and Paige's relationship is great for them because it does seem like they have like a genuine friendship and connection where like Hannah isn't psychotic to her and they like get along and have a good time with each other. But if you're not in that inner circle and you're just trying to enjoy like your quarantine summer and like film the show, and then Hannah is just like dominating every single conversation, like refusing to take the trash out, it's like, how could you not just like flip out on her eventually?
Right. And she's acting so surprised in every interview that like people aren't responding to her well this season. And it's like, how do you think, like, you don't take out the trash, you don't help out your roommates, you like, you know, freak out about every little thing, turn everything into a blow up argument. Like it's just, you look like an exhausting roommate, which is like, yeah, it's just, she seems exhausted. And like when they were all getting ready for like the wedding and like she was just laying on her ass the whole time, I'm like, I know how it is, like, when Paige and Hannah are, like, you know, you can tell that they grew up kind of with a mom that took care of them. My mom loves doing my laundry and cooking for me when I'm home, but I have, you know, turned into an adult that when, you know, I know how to freaking, like, help out when I'm needed. Like, I can like, if I go to someone's house for dinner, I'm always the first one to load the dishwasher. Cause it's like, you can't just be the person like doing nothing. And Hannah is so okay with being the person doing nothing that I'm like, you have to wonder. It's like, there's something, her ego just got way too big. That's my theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I still, I think I, where I truly stand is like, I want there to be, I want to see the reckoning and I want to see the realization. And then I'm here for like, trying to build back again.
See, you're there's on a nothing.
Firm no,
I don't think there's anything that she could like. I just don't see how she could redeem herself to me unless there was proof that she went through like a very intensive therapy for like her like personality disorder. Mm-hmm. Because there's just something there that like her version of reality, like you said, is like just not accurate.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. We'll see though.
Yeah, it's a to be determined. But yes. Sophie, thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Yes, of course. Thanks for having me. It flew by because I could talk about Summer House forever, clearly.
There's just so much to like dive into. Tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, so I am on Instagram at @Soph_Ross, and I'm on Twitter. I'm probably more active on Twitter, so follow me there if you had to choose just one. Soph Ross on Twitter with like 4 S's, Soph Ross. Anyway, you should be able to find me.
Yeah. And I didn't know that you were also on Ryan Bailey's podcast every Monday.
Yes. We do a little like pop culture roundup. We talk about Summer House, but like, he's like, okay, not enough of my listeners watch the show apparently, because they all like complain when we talk about Summer House too much. So this was me like,
okay, good.
I got so to let it out.
You had an outlet where the listeners are ready and hungry for Summer House talk. Okay, good. Well, you're welcome back anytime. I hope when VPR comes back, we can like reunite and talk about that, because.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And then who knows like what bombshells on the reunion will drop. Like, we'll see.
Oh, God. I'm just praying that. I like, it will just feel really good to see Hannah get yelled at by people.
She does. From everything we've seen, it's going to be like everyone against Hannah. And it's like, I'm so here for that.
Yeah,
so.
I'm here for it. And then Hannah like making shitty comments and then, or like that cough moment where
she's just an antagonist. She can't antagonize people and then play the victim. Like, so frustrating.
So remains to be seen. But until next time, love and
light. Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.